Cindy.
Hi, Charlie.
If you were to go a heisting, how would you do it? What is the vibe?
Here's what I would do.
Tell me. Mood board me.
I would sit across from a good friend.
Oh.
And distract them with a podcast.
Oh.
Which is just a ruse for my ultimate goal.
Oh.
Of heisting their friendship and their time.
Get out of here.
But also, if I...
If you were to do a real heist.
If I were to do a real
see,
heist.
See, here's the thing. I offer up the friendship freely.
Oh, well, then you don't have to take it
from me.
That's wonderful.
I'm already committed to the bit.
Thanks, buddy. I would embed myself as a sleeper
like a friendship.
Agent.
Yeah.
Like a friendship. I would be in there for years, biding my time, being patient. And then taking everything.
Whoa,
it would
sneaky.
Probably involve a very carefully put together prenup.
So now you're talking about marriage.
Yes, except the problem is I'm already married. So
Aaron
would have to be part of it too.
So you're now talking polygamy.
Yeah, or...
Okay.
We would have to get divorced.
Oh.
And then...
But with the understanding you'd get together after the con is done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he would be doing a heist
in
his own way, maybe romancing the ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
So we would attack it from both sides.
Or maybe it's like a Dirty Rotten Scoundrels moment where you're both like, you're both going after the same prize.
Yep. Could be.
And then whoever wins gets married.
Yep. That could
again,
be.
Maybe.
Again, yeah.
Who knows?
We would find our way back to each other, but we would just have a lot more money. It's so
well,
romantic.
Well, I hope this for you, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
This sounds like a great long-term plan.
Thank you.
This is
it's our retirement
this
plan.
This is millennial investment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best we can do.
It's the best we can do.
What would you do for a heist if you were to heist something?
Well, I think mine would be much less well thought out, because as one knows, not good with violence.
Right.
Not good with sudden things happening. So I feel like, you know, to my shame, I would probably be someone like Bertie Wooster in a gentleman's club. And I like end up finding myself in the middle of a heist without even intending to.
Oh.
And then I have to, you know, use whatever's at hand, which in this case would probably be something like one of those, like, you know, forks that they use to toast bread over fires.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then that'd be my weapon of choice, and I'd have to, like, steal golden cigar cases or something.
Oh, but that's a very sexy thing to steal.
Thank you.
Yes, and you're good at thinking on your feet.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
An accidental heist could be just the thing.
Accidental heist. And I would wear an excellent outfit. This is the most important thing.
You could have one of those smoking jackets.
I will have one of those.
And an ascot.
Velvet, of course.
I mean, I'm surprised you don't already. I'm working on it.
It's the next stage. Yeah.
Please get that. Maybe for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my getaway song would be It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Best getaway song ever.
Would you be getting away on your bicycle?
Of course.
Yeah.
Caressing the gold cigar cases.
Yes. Yeah.
While Celine sings about touching and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
So romantic. We both have romantic stories. It's great.
It's each seeking romance as they want. So this here is the Juiciest Bits podcast. And we are the hosts, Charlie.
And Mandy.
Ready to talk movies and...
family.
Oh, and everything in between. And to round out our gleesome threesome of heist movies... We chose Fast Five, the middlest of middle children in the Fast and Furious franchise.
So far.
We don't actually know how long this is going to run for.
I hope forever.
I hope that starts getting passed down generationally.
Yes, I think it will.
Yeah, so like at some point, Vin Diesel will just age out of it, or he'll just stay in and become increasingly irrelevant. Like, he's proven that he really wants to do his own side quests, like, all the time.
Yes, and mostly he just stares and broods.
Mm-hmm.
So probably someone was like, please don't
say it. Are you talking about acting?
Yeah, yeah. He's probably been advised against trying to act.
He's emoting.
He's emoting.
He's showing us the breadth of human emotion. yes. But first, okay, give me, let's start with one movie thing that you've been thinking about watching, reading, in the last couple weeks since our last episode.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm cheating because I can just reach for the things I've been teaching about.
Oh, this again.
But it is something I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about transmedia, which is using several different platforms to tell a single story. So think something like the MCU, where you have Avengers Endgame and you have WandaVision, and both make sense on their own, but if you watch both, you get more of a complete story.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about that as it relates to cult movies. So I don't know if you're too young to remember.
Fuck you.
I would like to
remind you again, the internet exists.
The internet exists, but okay, so
it reaches back in time.
So for example, the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, of course.
Had a website that is now, it's been taken down.
Oh, okay.
So this is why I didn't know.
All right.
But so the Blair Witch Project is a fictional sort of film meant to resemble found footage.
Incorrect. It's real life.
No, but it was supposed to, like, it was promoted as real life on this website, and like to the point where people apparently were offering the protagonist's mother their condolences. Like, they would show up and be like, "We're so sorry about Heather," and she's like, "What?
Oh my god."
So this movie had the story of the movie, but also there was the story of the website and the story of the chat rooms and the stories, you know, fan fiction, all of that stuff. And the same with The Room, right? The Room had a billboard in, I don't know, Encino or somewhere, that just had a phone number that said RSVP this number, and it said The Room, and there was just like a mugshot, huge photo of Tommy Wiseau's face in black and white and nothing else.
A horrifying image.
So it's like this sort of media telling a branch of the story and kind of getting buzz, and then you have the actual story, and then you have, you know, all of the sort of iterations. So I've been thinking a lot about how storytelling doesn't have to just be one stream. It can be, you know, a movie that kind of continues on with a video game, that continues on with a novelization, that continues on with fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just sort of the way that stories can just be added to and snowballed and yet branch out at the same time. So I'm having a hard time with my analogies right now.
But that's sort of the power of, like, basically, like, reader response or viewer response.
Definitely, a lot to do with reader response.
Fan culture in general. Like, we've seen so many instances of where a piece of culture will exist because it's inspired by something else. And then fans will take that and, you know, make fan fiction out of it or fan art or whatever. And then that fan art sort of, like, gains legitimacy as its own item.
Yeah.
And sort of then, like, takes on a life of its own and, like, sort of, like, keeps circling around.
Yeah. And, it has so much to do with reader response because it's behind the whole idea that the audience takes ownership of a piece or takes ownership of
at the
art.
Very least takes equal part in production
and in meaning
totally
yeah.
Well, that's very cool. I was in Walmart for the first time in ages and discovered that they still have those bargain bins of assorted DVDs.
Oh
hell yeah, which is a thing that I thought had gone out long ago, so I felt transported to a simpler time.
Yeah. Are they still, like, $5?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Baby.
And there are more of them. So they were often, like, packs of three DVDs for $5. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
What did you get?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I spent, like, 30 minutes sorting through mostly Adam Sandler sets.
Of course, yeah.
And also a lot of, like, combo packs of, like, Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Oh, of course.
Which seems like, oh, you say, of course, no one sees that movie now.
Yeah, but I used to watch both of them with my grandma all the time.
Yes, but we've discussed how your childhood was not normal.
You mean watching movies where senior citizens talk about sex and
no,
engage in bodily fun with your grandma isn't bodily normal? Bodily fun.
Worker recently talked about sex as questionable activities, but I think bodily fun is even sillier.
And more accurate. It is bodily fun.
All right.
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. However, I don't like it.
Well, you don't have to like it. You just have to agree.
All right. So anyways, ended up purchasing several absolute finds. The Men in Black trilogy. Yeah, all three.
Very good.
For $5.
Oh, what a deal.
A twofer of Blade Runner OG in 2049. And a very random assortment of Nicolas Cage movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like packaged together.
Yeah.
Which ones?
Face Off.
Of course.
Snake Eyes. And there was a third one that has Jessica Biel in it that I could not for the life of you tell you what it is.
So, like, all the worst ones.
How dare you? The highlights of his career so far.
There's good Cage and then there's less good Cage. Snake Eyes is definitely less good Cage.
I got it just for the Face Off.
Sure.
You know, like, that. So, as everything else is a bonus.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I guess the moral of this story is that I'm recommending Walmart Bargain Bin DVDs.
Very good.
Because it's a wild ride. And also, in this dismal year of our Lord 2024, when streaming services are more expensive than ever, and also now have ads.
Yes.
And still don't have what you want to watch.
It's like watching cable.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. So, invest in physical media again.
Yes.
People. Invest in physical media.
Is the way to go.
It's the future.
Yeah.
You have it forever, maybe, until it runs out. But, like, you gotta wear through that.
Mm-hmm. Like, and just keep your machines in good order.
Yeah. Have a little microfiber cloth that you can just wipe it off if it gets a little crusty.
Yeah.
I don't know why it would get crusty, but...
It shouldn't.
It
if your machines
not
are crusty,
from normal that's, activities, I should gross. Say. Yeah, you're gross.
You have a gross problem.
All right, let's talk turkey. Fast Five. Fast and Furious. What are your initial thoughts on how this one fits into our heist category?
And oh.
So why did we pick this one out of, like, the 9 other almost identical movies?
Well... Okay, the reason I thought of this is because...
Yeah, this was your choice, actually.
This was my choice because I just couldn't stop envisioning them pulling a vault with two chargers. So
it
I was
the
like...
It is the hammiest representation of a
Yeah, heist. I was like, there's at least two heists in this movie, and we have to watch it. And also, there's something about Fast and the Furious movies that are just so... Like...
I would say three heists because Mia heists a baby.
Mia does
out of Brian's sperm.
She does. It's true, but he's fine with it. So yeah, it's. I mean, this movie has all of the stereotypical heist things in it.
They say one less job.
They
at least
say
five
one less
times.
Job. They're like
for five. Different
everyone
things.
Has their job. We need a chameleon. We need a fast talker. We
That's
need
right.
a circuit. Like they go through the whole list.
We
Even
need two precision drivers.
We need a wall puncher, someone who can punch through that wall. And it's like what? Somebody in charge of utilities and weapons.
Which is, I don't remember who that was.
I don't either. I don't know.
Because at first it's really clear who they're introducing. They're like, okay, we need this person. And then there's Han. And they're like, okay, clearly that's Han. And then they're like, we need this person. It's clearly Roman. And then, and then they're like, yeah, we need weapons. And it's like,
I think someone that's Gal Gadot. I think that's her job.
Oh.
Which translates to garbage truck.
The right. End. The garbage truck is the weapon.
Yeah. But she, It's very weird.
Is that a garbage truck in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
Stupid. Yeah, I mean, it has
I'm so sorry.
Everything. It has evading the law. It has a car heist at the beginning.
Okay. Well, easy. Like, don't give away all our secrets.
Okay. Slick pickpocketing, though.
All right, okay. One more.
There's a train bridge.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every heist movie needs a train bridge.
Every heist
movie. At least one.
Yeah. At least. And also a ravine to fall into. Yeah, of course.
You must have a ravine.
I must.
Where
I
there's
must.
A train bridge, there's a ravine.
How silly of me. I forgot that it goes without saying.
It doesn't.
You're right. What surprises you most about the Fast and Furious franchise when you rewatch these movies?
Oh, man. I feel like as a cinema scholar, I am sometimes embarrassed by how much I love these movies, because the writing, friends, is so awful.
It's worse than you remember.
It's
every single
so
time.
Awful.
Yeah.
And like most of these people were not hired for their acting skills. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is it? And I think it's that they're so silly.
Yeah.
But there's so much heart in them too. Like you
Amelia.
You care about the characters, even though you just don't understand. And there are plot holes aplenty.
Oh, we will talk about those.
But yeah, like I just keep coming back because there's such a romp.
Yeah, I was thinking about it this time, and it was me realizing like how much almost childlike joy I get out of these, like in a way that like is not logical. There's nothing to it aside from just like seeing smashy, smashy things and being like, yay!
Yes, exactly.
But I also think that, like, these movies are so far outside of irony.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are so sincere in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they think they're so cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so, like, it kind of also requires the viewer to engage on that level too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine ironically watching these movies.
No.
Because, yeah, it's just like, it's so far beyond the sphere of what they are and how they think of themselves,
mm-hmm.
even though what they think of themselves is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
but they're also doing cool as shit stuff.
Yes! And their whole world. You need to have seen the other ones in order to truly get what's going on. Like, you see a very briefly the end, like in the credits scene,
mm-hmm.
a photo of Letty,
mm-hmm.
who is Dom's girlfriend, who he thinks is dead.
Yeah.
And turns out she's not. Yeah. Surprise. That's like the big theme of Fast and the Furious.
Surprise. No one's dead.
No one's dead. But it's like, you wouldn't know who that was.
Yeah.
Unless you'd seen 1 through 4. Or at least and 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, like, there are little Easter egg, little treats
mm-hmm.
and rewards you get for watching the whole franchise.
Well, also at the same time, like, very quickly blending into one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's one of the other things about choosing 5 is that I was just like, the one with the vault.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise I didn't know anything else about it. I didn't remember anything.
Oh, yeah, no, and whenever I have to be like, okay, what's the one with this specific thing that's happening? Like, I have to go back and Google it, because there's no way that I'm going to remember specifics.
Yeah. Except for Tokyo Drift.
Oh, of course, because it's so
that's
different.
The weird one.
It's the weird one.
It's the least good one.
It's the weird one that happens in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
but
yeah,
not the
other
future,
thing.
Just a slightly different future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
It really, I actually did see someone try and like draw a flowchart of the timeline for these movies.
I saw that too.
And it is bonkers.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
Makes no.
God bless this person.
Goddamn sense. Yeah. Yeah. Really put in the work.
Yeah. For nothing. For no reason.
How dare you? For scholarship.
There are some things it's just not worth trying to figure out, Charlie.
Ah, you say release yourself to the mystery.
Release yourself to the mystery.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe this movie in 4 keywords or less?
I sure do.
Please do so.
Live, laugh, love, family. I can't be any clearer than that.
Fuck you.
Tell me they're they're not.
She's
they're
not wrong, accurate. Folks. she got it. She got it.
That one's for Anna Marie.
Shout out to your mother-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Sorry, Anna Marie. You're not old enough.
She's incensed right now. But there's a how dare you coming for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my four keywords are mm-hmm. vacuum, sealed, tea, shirts. You know what I'm talking about.
They're not wrong. I was actually just thinking about that today when I went over a scene with Dwayne Johnson.
I'm going to be talking about that later, too.
And I was like, that shirt is painted on.
Oh, there is that shirt defies all logic.
Well, and I read something that he bulked up for the role, and I was like, why? Was he not already bulked? But
what's bonkers is that he is comparatively quite small at this point. He gets so much larger.
He gets so much larger.
Like,
yeah.
It defies
but
human
this,
comprehension.
This shirt, like, if he sneezes, the shirt would just rip right off his body.
I think this shirt is, like, the greatest technologically advanced mm-hmm. thing in this movie.
They probably make, like, military stuff out of it.
Oh, for sure. It looks indestructible.
Truly. It must be.
And you know what really delighted me? That same shirt, one of the underlings is wearing a similar type shirt, but he's not nearly as big.
Right.
But I was like, oh, you're trying so hard.
That shirt is
and
so
then everyone else is just wearing like normal style t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, no, they must he's be like, four sizes too small.
I must do what daddy does. How will father know that I like him? I must get his approval.
Wear the family uniform.
Father, is this t-shirt tight enough?
No, son.
No, son.
It's not.
Put in the dryer again.
Yeah. Go to the children's section.
All right. May I do a summary?
Please do a summary.
Excellent. This is quite long because the movie itself is at 2.5 hours.
How did you survive?
I don't know. It was... honestly, twice as long as it should have been.
It's true. We like a tight 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? As I think about it now, nothing I would trim out.
No. No, it's airtight.
It is airtight. A lean machine, I would say. Not a wasted moment.
Indeed.
So this movie starts as a courtroom drama.
That's right.
I'm currently watching Anatomy of a Fall, and it's basically the same thing.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
We watch in disbelief as Dom is sentenced to 25 years without parole. What is the law? What is justice? And Brian and Mia are holding each other tenderly while a single tear falls down each of their faces. Mm-hmm. Off Dom toddles to his prison transport bus, wearing the tightest orange jumpsuit I've ever seen. He looks even more like a human sausage than usual. And I have no idea how he sits down. Although... question, do we see him sitting down?
We do see him sitting down, but we don't see him in the act of sitting down. We just see him sat down. So it's possible
that he just
it's possible that he's wearing two different costumes at the time, one that is completely open in the back so that he may sit down.
It's just flapping.
Yeah. I mean, this is not outside the realm of possibility.
Or it's like a baby jumper where he has to, like, rip off the butt to sit down.
Maybe there's Velcro in the back and he can just be like, rip it apart. And then,
All right.
The
well,
magic of costuming.
Mysteries abound.
Truly.
As the prison bus drives down the highway, Brian and Mia zoom up in fast cars and furiously force the bus off the road.
Very good.
They've moved through all five stages of grief very quickly. And are now right back on their bullshit.
Why it's called Fast Five.
You're blowing my mind right now.
You're welcome.
Holy shit.
I am a scholar.
Wow. Who has time to waste in prison when you can, it turns out, very easily and safely, roll the transport bus. And then break your best buddy slash brother out of the bus and then go on the run in South America altogether.
Sounds fun to me.
Seems reasonable. News bulletins reassure us that no one died in the bus accident, even though the bus rolled so many times and, like, everyone should be dead.
Yeah, it should have probably exploded, too.
Oh, yeah. It didn't.
Yeah.
But it just looks a little bit crunched.
Yeah.
Which reminds us, yes, our heroes are reckless scalawags, but they aren't bus murderers. The rules of life and death don't apply to them. So now there's an international manhunt to find Dom, Mia, and Brian. Cut to 1,000,000 drone shots over Rio de Janeiro. When we finally come down to Earth, we see Mia and Brian driving to their pal Vince's house, and we see the first glimpse of one of this movie's subplots.
Mm-hmm.
Mia is now pregnant. And that becomes her entire personality, although the dudes have no idea. So in the car, she, like, looks at Brian pregnantly, and then, like, later on, she pregnantly holds Vince's baby in a dark doorway. Like, it's wild how unsettled. So she just, like, looks over at Brian, and we're like, that bitch is pregnant.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's so nuts. Yeah. Over dinner that night, Vince convinces Brian and Mia to do one last job. Since they are, after all, on the run already, and do need money because of being on the run. It's a cycle of crime, you know.
Mm.
So now Brian and Mia are on a train that is transporting top secret cars. And the job is to steal those cars while the train is in motion because...
Of course it is.
Of course. You don't steal cars when it's stopped.
That's too easy.
So they lift the train conductor's pass and unlock the cargo hold just as the outside team comes alongside and cuts through the train siding, showing us, which now makes me think, like, why the fuck did they need to steal the train conductor's pass?
Don't think too hard about it. They had to show that they can do some light pickpocketing. Mia had to bump into the conductor and be like, I can do this even while pregnant.
This movie made me believe a lie. Anyway, so the outside team cuts through the train siding, showing us Angel Choir singing a returned Dom.
Ta-da.
He also couldn't resist one last job. Side note. So the recent installments of the Fast and Furious franchise have been, like, committed to canonizing Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this is, like, one of the first moments in the series that, like, really starts getting going.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the camera wants us to believe that he just descended from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is glowing. And, like, you know, if wings were badass, he would probably be having those flapping out behind him. Like, you know, like, he's just like, I am heaven sent. I am an angel of the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's definitely something to that.
Saint Vin Diesel.
Saint Vin Diesel. Saint Dominic Toretto.
Saint Dominic Toretto. So anyways, the crew start taking cars by using a nifty trailer thing that pulls the car out onto a platform and then lowers it onto the ground. Vince drives off with the first car, and then Mia gets into the next car, but Dom smells trouble a-brewing, so he tells her,
change your plans, wait for me at my call.
Very good.
Thank you. I was worried it was a little bit Arnold Schwarzenegger, though.
No, okay. I think it was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, the trick then is just being, like, having every muscle in your mouth entirely loose at the same time. Just fully relaxed.
That's true.
So then Mia drives off in the car in the opposite direction, and then the remaining crew wig out and pull guns, and then the DEA agents get involved, because they had actually, like, they had seized the car, stolen cars on stolen cars. And then Brian runs a car into the train and gets stuck in the burning wreckage, and we're like, Brian, baby, what works for a bus doesn't necessarily work for a train, but good try. At some point, a bunch of DEA agents get shot by the bad guys, who are like, lol, the other thieves. And Dom gets into the last remaining car and literally drives out the moving train. As one is forced to.
Yes.
Yeah. And then comes to save Brian, who jumps like a flying squirrel onto the trunk of his car. And we're all like, phew, what an escape. Only no. They immediately drive off a cliff into the river below, and as they surface, a whole bunch of henchmen are already waiting on the embankment to catch them. Turns out the heist was sponsored by local bigwig crime boss, Hernan Reyes, and he is not happy that Mia just ran off with one of his cars. So there's a very brief string-em-up boys scene where Brian and Dom then easily fight their way out and somehow find Mia hiding out with the car. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't Reyes's guys just, like, follow them back? That seems like bad guy tracking 101.
I agree.
Yeah.
Don't think too hard about
it. More plot holes. Anyways, at the hideout where she's at, she tells them that they are now also being blamed for the murder of the DEA agents. So then, next scene, we're introduced to Luke Hobbs, The Rock, a federal agent in charge of hunting our lawless heroes.
And tight t-shirts.
And he is wearing the aforementioned vacuum-sealed t-shirts, which he will wear this entire movie.
Yeah.
We don't know how he got it on his body, but it seems pretty clear that once it was on, he wasn't able to remove it.
No, so it must smell bad.
It must smell terrible. It is fused to his skin.
It was once white. Yeah.
Gross. Because also later, he is sweating like 17% more than anyone else is sweating in this movie.
Yeah.
So, like, damn.
I hope it's moisture wicking.
Oh, one only hopes. Okay, so we see him giving a pep talk to his underlings, basically like, how to catch car thieving rascals 101. And in concluding the lecture, he says the immortal line, above all else, don't ever, ever let them get into cars.
That's the most ridiculous one.
As if a car isn't the most standard getaway vehicle.
And like, and for the police who have arrested someone too. Like,
just to be like, don't.
We're walking you into the station now.
Cars are your great.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. But I love it.
But
I
absolute it gold.
So delightful.
Back at Heist HQ, Mia once again almost tells Brian she's pregnant, but is interrupted when Vince shows up, which makes everyone mad, because they're like, where'd you go, dude? And then it also gives Dom the opportunity to execute a few Oscar bait moments, where he gets to show rage and then restraint.
Acting.
So much range. but the big reveal of this scene is that Reyes is not after them for the missing car exactly, but for the GPS info on the car's chip, which is a clear route to all of Reyes's cash house locations, where they house, you know, cumulatively a cool $100 million.
And he didn't know where those locations were without the chip?
Oh, no, I think he did, but I think it was just that he was like, oh no, someone else will now be able to know where it is.
Right.
Because how else is he going to find those? Because he gets the money.
Yeah. But, it's like, if you know where your super secret stash is,
yeah,
don't put it on a chip.
Or don't put it on a chip. Find it. That does seem like basic.
Don't share your password.
Yeah.
Don't share the GPS coordinates of your money.
Like basic bad guy stuff. Like, don't have one car drive to all of the locations if it's going to record it.
Yeah, he can afford
or
more
maybe
cars.
Maybe erase it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So many options.
We would be much better super villains.
We would.
Yeah.
We should.
I mean.
Are you?
I don't know.
Let's discuss this later.
We have something to talk about. Yeah.
Off the air. There's a little scuffle when Reyes' men and Hobbs' crew converge on the hideout. Somehow, I can't remember why. Like, it's just like, and now's the time for some conflict to happen. They all shoot each other a bunch, but our band of heroes gets away again. Although. Dom is forced to leave his heirloom necklace behind, and it gets picked up by someone. More on that later. Mia finally tells Brian and Dom that she's pregnant, and both are newly energized by this news to start planning the actual one last job. The job to rule them all. The job to find them. The job to bring them all. And in darkness bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie.
Very excellent crossover.
To do the impossible job of taking all of Reyes' millions, they assemble a team of some old and new faces, including Han, Giselle, Roman, and Tej, each with a distinct skill set. Hans, for instance, is making everything that this cheesy script throws at him sound cool, which made me wonder, is he just, like, better at this than everyone else? Does he actually get better lines? Because I couldn't tell.
I think he's better at this, too. Okay. I think maybe both.
Okay.
But, yeah, he just seems to make it look cool, whereas everyone else just looks like a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time he's on screen, I'm like...
He's got Han knows what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a point. All right. The new crew's first task, literally burn money. Our heroes go to one of Reyes's money houses and burn all of his cash. And in response, Reyes takes the cash remaining from the other houses and puts it in one big Papa safe that is located in a police station. Because he owns all of the cops in the city except one. The hot lady cop who has been recruited to work with Hobbs instead. Then there's some shenanigans that involve selecting more fast cars, buying a copycat safe, lifting Reyes' handprint off a bikini, and blowing up some toilets in a police station. You know, normal stuff.
Normal stuff.
There's also a scene that Dom orchestrates to taunt Hobbs. And it's in this scene that Hobbs really shows how sweaty he really is. Because he gets, like, right pressed up against Dom's face. It's a very, very, you know, crackling scene of erotic tension.
Indeed. Yeah.
Do you think his sweat is real?
I would imagine he's a fairly sweaty fellow.
Do you think he's a sweaty fellow?
I would imagine. Yeah.
Because it made me think, like, okay, 80s action star level sweats.
Yeah.
But I've since been disillusioned to discover that the sweating was often not real.
Sprayed down, yeah.
He would, like, spray glycerin and stuff on people.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a combination, but I wouldn't be surprised if... Well, okay.
Tell me. Break it down. Give me lists. Give me facts.
So
give me figures.
I'm sure that he is a sweaty fellow, but I also know that makeup would have a heck of a time if he... were to sweat that profusely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are lots and lots of cuts, so I'm assuming someone is mopping him down.
Yeah, this is a millions and millions of dollar movie. Like, yeah. If they didn't want him to be that sweaty, he wouldn't be that sweaty.
Right. But I wonder if he gets sweaty and they mop him down and replace that with glycerin so that it doesn't ruin his makeup.
Oh, interesting.
Because he doesn't get, like, sweat rings on his black t-shirt either.
Yeah, that's true.
So probably, yeah, he's probably sweating and then they replace that sweat with glycerin.
I accept this. This is all right.
But I don't know for sure. Let us know you know for sure.
Someone out there, please confirm the sweat stats.
How does sweat work? I wouldn't know.
Oh, man. I'm consistently the sweatiest person in a room, so don't love that, but all right. Anyways, okay. After all the side quests are done, Dom and folks get up bright and early on heist day, only for Hobbs to stomp in and arrest everyone first. Mm. And then as they're being driven towards the airport, they're ambushed and everyone's killed except for Hobbs and Lady Cop. So then... Hobbs just decides to switch sides.
Yeah.
They're suddenly wildly cool with heisting. Only it's not for money, it's for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a massive difference. And it got me thinking, like, man, if a coworker got killed, I'd probably be bummed, but I would not be overcome with a thirst for vengeance.
No, and in your case, it would probably depend on which coworker.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, in most people's case, come on, there's always that one person.
There's always that duck.
You're like, well,
it's fine. I'm sure someone is mourning them. Maybe. All right. So off everyone goes, bustling in on the police station and literally hooking the giant safe to a couple of cars so they can bust it out of the building.
Totally legitimate.
And then in one of the most bonkers sequences of the franchise, I would say, only rivaled probably by the, like, magnet car chase sequence in F9.
Yes.
Which also I forgot about so unhinged.
One. Very unhinged.
Same sort of energy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Brian and Dom drive through Rio, pulling that giant safe behind them.
In perfect synchronous formation.
Somehow, like, not murdering too, like, again, like, somehow just sort of, like, breezing through this, like, Rio is packed.
Yeah.
They're going through downtown Rio.
Yeah, the streets are basically empty, and basically they're just empty. Damaging infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's at one point where they, like, drive, and they sort of, like, sideswipe a bank.
Yeah.
And then Mia's, like, on the, like, walkie-talkie, and she's like, ha ha ha, you broke a bank. but there are no bodies strewing the streets. It's all very, very tidy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, there's a showdown on a bridge. And then Reyes is killed, and then all is well. Hobbs kisses each of the crew on the forehead, telling them that they'll have a 24-hour head start to run away. But they have to leave the big old safe behind. Everyone agrees too easily because, surprise, there was a switcheroo that happened mid-chase, and the actual safe is back at HQ heist quarters. I got confused. And in the final montage, everyone is rich and loving life, and Brian challenges Dom to one last car chase, TM. And in the post-credit sequence, Hobbs is back in his U.S. office, and Eva Mendes swings by to ask him if he believes in ghosts, because she has a recent photo of the supposedly dead Letty.
Dead Letty.
Now cue Letty's Winter Soldier phase. The end.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Also, it just occurred to me how deeply rich it is of Hobbs to be like, I'm going to arrest you. Now I'm going to join you.
Yeah.
Oops, I'm going to arrest you again.
But I'll give you a 24-hour head start.
He should arrest himself.
He should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why the justice system is so corrupt.
It's all Dwayne Johnson's fault.
Don't do libelous things on the air.
I'm just kidding, Dwayne.
We love you.
Love you.
Your muscles are great. We're sure you're as sweaty as you want to be.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. I'm pro-sweat.
Pro-sweat.
Yeah.
Broad-minded. All right, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I think there's a lot. I mean, you've offered up some themes that involve...
Pregnancy,
family, mm-hmm. fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie has a lot to say, especially about... relationships between men,
mm-hmm.
Particularly Dom and Brian, but also the others. But yeah, I was really struck by the mutual love in this movie between the characters. And I mean, there's one scene where Dom and Brian are sort of pouring their hearts out, and Brian's talking about his absent father and how he doesn't really remember him, mm-hmm. and Dom's just kind of standing there, you know, stoically understanding. At one point, one of them says, "You're my brother now." Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, there's such a strong, like, for such, they're all criminals, right? Like, they're all, this is kind of the reversal, right, where mm-hmm. we're rooting for the criminals and not the cops,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones exhibiting those sort of down-home, old-school family values, right,
mm-hmm.
to the point where they sit around the kitchen table,
yeah.
and talk, and Dom references how his dad used to have a barbecue for everybody after church, and if you didn't go to church, you didn't get any barbecue.
Oh my god, and that just, like, destroyed, like, me. I was like, what?
The Catholicism of it all, and the, like... And even the all the aerial shots of the statue of Christ the Redeemer in Rio is mm-hmm. sort of indicating to us, besides being an establishing shot of Rio,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's almost like church sanctioned,
mm-hmm.
like these heisters are so morally pure
mm-hmm.
that they sort of have this religious backing almost, or like Jesus is on their side.
Yeah.
Is sort of the message in that. And I mean, they do kind of do some Robin Hood-y things, but it's very much about how they're a family. Nothing can break up family. No one else knows love like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's meant to sort of, I think, erase all of their criminal activity in a way, or to justify it maybe.
That's something that I was thinking about a lot on this time, because, again, I could be misremembering how this series, the trajectory of all the events, because it does blur together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this movie is sort of the turning point from when they become, like, lower class, blue collar, like working like every job, you know, to pay the bills. And this heist, what they end up pulling off, is sort of what makes them like jet setting, like international, yeah. like caper, like it bumps them like 5 million tax brackets.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is odd to me that they start at this sort of like lower class, like blue collar, like home values sort mm-hmm. of like vibe, and then they try to still retain that when they all become like multimillionaires. And that's yeah. sort of the project of the next several movies, is that they're still trying to have that sort of like, aw shucks, like gosh darn it, like I just live in a bungalow and like fix cars out in the back.
Yeah.
While they're all, yeah, like multimillionaires.
Yeah. And it seems like we're meant to think that they deserve it mm-hmm. for being good people.
For like the pureness of their heart.
The pureness of their
hearts. And the goodness of their relationships with each other.
Because even, you know, at the end when we see what they're all doing with their money, a big chunk of money is given to Vince's widow mm-hmm. and their son who's named after Dom. And so they're just given this stolen money, mm-hmm. but it's like a handout. It's like, you're welcome. It's benevolent, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's making them accessories.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
but it's not at all seen that way. just like, yeah, it's,
or like I thought, like my immediate thought was like, okay, this bereaved widow and her like baby child come home to their house in Rio and she sees like a duffel bag of cash on her table. I was like, that woman's getting murdered. Like yeah. that is like, this is they've made her a target.
Yeah.
This is not a gift.
It's bizarre. But
just like scratching through the surface of like what is presented as benevolence is mm-hmm. like, yeah, something else entirely.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to ask any of those questions. Mm-hmm. We're just supposed to be like, oh, that's so kind. Like Dom said he would look after them, and
here he is looking after them.
And there's even something in that, like the little kid is named after Dom. Mm-hmm. His name is Nico, and that seems to really mean a lot to Dom. And the whole idea of
and there's a deathbed sort of like passing along.
Yes, just like in death we have that passing along. Also in The Next Generation,
right?
Like even when they're all at Vince's and Mia is holding the baby and sort of like rocking the baby and putting the baby to bed, all of a sudden she kind of like throws up a little bit, and it's almost like. Because then the mother comes in and she's like, oh, have you told Brian? And we just infer that she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like in holding the baby, she catches pregnant.
Yeah.
Like she, it's like a passing totally. Along of this thing. And as a result, the legacy continues. And so it's about family. It's about maintaining this legacy, even if it's a legacy of crime, mm-hmm. because the crooks are better than the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because the few cops that are good come onto the crook's side mm-hmm. and help them because they have the moral high ground, which isn't true.
Yeah, the moral high ground. Yeah. Well, yeah, like they're bad crooks and good crooks. Yeah. Like we see like throughout like the sort of like Reyes's crew. And the one guy in particular who's sort of like leading things, I can't remember his name, but he's sort of like the foil on mm-hmm. the ground to Dom's crew.
Yeah.
And so like while they sometimes work together, they also are also at cross purposes. And it's very clear in the movie that like, oh, this is like a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are good guys, even though they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. And somehow, miraculously, like, Dom's crew does all of these things and they don't hurt anybody, mm-hmm. which is completely unrealistic, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you're dragging a vault, even if it were physically possible to drag a...
You telling me
10-ton vault with two Dodge Chargers, that would cause some serious casualties. And yet...
What if people ran out of the way really fast, though?
I mean, but, like, it hits cars. It hits, like...
Yeah.
But the movie is very clear constantly that somehow miraculously people aren't getting hurt as a result of their actions. People only get hurt.
Innocent people aren't being
innocent
hurt.
People, yes. Yes.
Because they also don't have yeah, they don't have a problem hurting they don't have a problem hurting bad people.
Right.
It's the innocent people that are protected. Because like in the ambush at the end, when Hobbs is sort of the last man standing, Dom and I think Brian pick up giant guns to defend him and shoot Reyes's men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're able to get out of that.
Yeah. Well, and I think then we're meant to see hurting quote-unquote bad guys as part of the moral high ground. Because even, right. like, when Hobbs joins them, like, he's sort of presented as by the book, as this really tough, by-the-book cop who eventually says, you know, once some of his guys are killed, he says, I'll ride with you, Toretto, at least until we kill that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's like, now that vengeance is in his sights, it's justified. It's righteous
mm-hmm.
somehow because he's on the side of the people who only hurt bad guys.
It's such a moving target though, right? Mm-hmm. Because like he is presented as a legalist and like he always talks about how he's got like a list. So he's basically just like going down this list of names and bagging people and like his own moral code doesn't seem to come into it. He's just mm-hmm. like, I'm literally just here to like get you because you landed on like
he's the job.
You're on my desk and yeah. so I need to sort you. Yeah, and then like with Reyes, like it's because he becomes more of an inconvenience. So he yeah. gets bumped up to like higher on the list than Dom's crew is.
Yeah. But there's also a matter of like Reyes kills some of Hobbs's guys mm-hmm. and that's why he becomes worse because Dom hasn't actually done anything to him personally
mm-hmm.
and he sees Dom do like I don't know good guy stuff while he's doing crimes and he's like okay well at least this guy is trustworthy
what you doing
but I good think guy too crime, so. I mean even with respect to I cannot remember her name the Brazilian cop
Elena
like, she is also a good cop who prides herself on being, on fulfilling her husband's legacy of being a good cop, her dead husband. Mm-hmm. And she, too, is very easily swayed by Dom
mm-hmm.
because she realizes that the right thing isn't necessarily the legal thing. And so it's sort of like the law doesn't matter as much as, like, gut instinct.
Right. Yeah, so there's, like, several ways of approaching the law. There's sort of, like, the baseline law that's, like, there for people to follow, but then there's sort of, like, a higher law for our criminal band to, mm-hmm. you know, follow instead, and sometimes that contradicts the actual law. But then there are also bad guys who are actually, like, doing murders and stuff
mm-hmm.
and they're it's so difficult to parse
it is because there's no like it's everybody's kind of deciding of on their own too like what mm-hmm. the line is because that's I mean
do you think there's anyone here who has like a consistent internal code of behavior
I think Dom thinks he does but I mean
but he contradicts himself all the time
but in that sort of like I am pals with God kind of way like
right.
like he feels almost ordained but yeah I don't I can't think of anybody can you
no well and this is the thing like I feel like everyone there is a sense in which everyone relationship to the law is relative to what they want in that moment but it is not necessarily passed off as a self-serving thing
right.
It's often passed off as what is the best for family or what yes. is the best for like the person closest to me So, right. Like, Vince is like, I've got to do this to protect my wife and new baby, even if it's, like, betraying my close friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I come back and ask Dom for, like, an in the day before their heist, he's going to, like, let me in anyways. Yeah, like,
because family.
Because family. Like,
yeah.
So it, like, loops back on itself. And the same thing with, like, Letty. Like there's some point where Letty is mentioned as, like, a reason for, like, not getting back into this sort of cycle of crime.
Right.
And Dom is like, oh, no, I've, like, got to do it in order to make sure that no one else is, like, following in Letty's footsteps or something. Like, it's like, I've got to do this. I've got to keep doing this so that, like, no one else does it. Or, like...
Yeah, it's kind of promoted as... Like, I'm
protecting
as,
my family.
Yeah. Even though, like... In protecting his family, he's stealing $100 million and gets to reap the benefits of that as well. And like, yeah, you're protecting Brian and Mia and their unborn child, but like, you're gonna get in on that too. Or like even when Mia tells Brian she's pregnant, Dom is there and he like kind of gives them both a group hug.
Yeah.
Like he's just as much It's like
a participant.
Yeah, like it's like he's inserting himself into that family, that little family unit.
Yeah.
Because to him, there's no such thing as a family unit. It's just all.
It's all
like one big pool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Like it is always a little bit self-serving because family includes him.
This is also what I find, like, speaking of the contradictions here, like odd about his. Need to start going off on all of these side quests that become much more prominent in subsequent films. Like, at this point, essentially, there's sort of, like, parallel stories. There's, like, the crew doing one thing, and there's Dom doing something else. And sometimes those converge, but a lot of times it's just, like, Dom doing his own. And it seems quite... odd to me that, like, in trying to promote or, like, trying to, like, create a space for himself in these family units, basically, like, surrounding himself with layers upon layers of people, bringing people back from the dead, literally.
Yeah.
To sort of, like, buffer himself against the world. He is then also doing the most that he can in sort of, like, leaving them.
Yes! Like, at the end, when he somehow, like... releases Brian's car from the vault and Brian says that's not the plan and Dom just says it was always the plan.
Yeah. And
so he has this alternate plan that has always been in play and he's always known what's happening.
But he's like the only insider to that plan.
Yes, and it seems so self-sacrificey, but really it's so frustrating when you're like, but I thought this was the plan and what do I do now? And it's sort of everyone else, like, yes, you're surrounded by this family, but also when you decide to pull a runner, to decide that you're going to sacrifice yourself, it throws everyone else off balance.
In disarray. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet this is sort of a, like, a heroic thing or framed as a heroic thing for him to do. But as a viewer, it's like, what?
Yeah.
I would be so angry. Because it supposes, too, that nobody else can look after the family.
Oh, that he's 100%. Yeah. No, he's, like, the guardian angel of the family pre-death, you know? Like, he doesn't have to die in order to be that.
Right.
And
no prison can hold him.
No prison can hold him. Certainly not a prison bus.
Certainly not.
Yeah. No, and it is, it smacks of, like the self-sacrificing, like, facade, but really it's underneath it all, like, just a symptom of, like, possessiveness.
Yeah.
So rather than, like, trying to keep everyone in a circle and have them be autonomous and sort of opt in, he's always dictating the rules of their relationships.
Yeah. And feeling free to change them at any time without
telling and going off on his own. Yeah. Totally. Cool.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about how the crime boss, who doesn't rule with violence, he rules with coercion, you know, giving them a taste of the better life and then I own them type stuff,
mm-hmm.
Is sort of echoed in the need for one last job cycle of dependency.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have that much more to say about it. Just that it really struck me on this viewing that they've sort of like countered this villain with this sort of recurrence of like always needing to get back in for one more hit.
Yeah.
And Hernan Reyes's like specific mode of control is sort of keeping people coming back for one more hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, too, that their idea of one, you know, one last job is to really, like, put Reyes in his place.
Mm-hmm.
When really, like, that's what he wanted, like, that's his thing.
Yeah. It's his method of control.
Totally. Wow. And so there's kind of cleverly stealing that method of control.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, in doing one last job, they're ensuring that they have to be on the run forever and that... You know,
so they're stuck. They've like
they
like,
can never get a straight job. They can like they have to, which is so funny because it's, you see some of them go directly to the casino and it's like, what are you doing? Like how you need to put that like in a shoebox under your bed. Like that's you need to save.
To invest that in offshore accounts somewhere.
Yeah, because what are they gonna do if they lose it all? Which is.
Well, they keep doing one last job.
They keep doing one last job.
Which is why we have five more movies.
So it's never just one last job.
Yeah.
It's always,
mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Something
has happened. I need to pull one last job.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, again, the, like I've talked about before, the sort of like disdain for this sort of like vision of middle class life where it's like either like all or nothing, mm-hmm. You're either like entirely impoverished or you are like living the highest life you can possibly live. There's sort of like no middle ground.
Yeah.
Or like middle ground looks like cowardice.
Yeah. Is this movie commenting on the erosion of the middle class?
I think it is.
Is it actually very smart?
Oh my god. Why are you not teaching this film in your class?
Who says I'm not?
Next week.
Next week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Oh, I just want to briefly talk about how weird Elena and Dom's romance is.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. And, like, out of nowhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's very bizarre.
I was like, okay, first of all, what's happening? So it's like every time she sees him, it's like fully like a Twilight thing where she is like transfixed by him.
Yeah.
She cannot look away. She like glazes over. It's like she's like mesmerized or something. And then he like saves her by like throwing himself in front of her.
Yeah.
She's wearing a bulletproof vest and he's wearing a t-shirt.
No need. Yeah. And, like, he drops his necklace, and she picks it up and knows exactly whose it is. And he ends up in her house talking about a picture of her dead husband.
She also wears it!
And she also wears it, yes. So it's very...
That was the most bonkers thing to me.
Yeah, so bonkers. And then, like, again, good cop, she decides to follow Dom. And the end, they take off with the money, and the cops are left with an empty safe, and she... Just like Hobbs is just shaking her head with a smile, like, no, those guys.
Those guys.
Yeah. But it's, and I mean, she ends up playing more of a role in subsequent movies.
I mean, she ends up, speaking of fatherhood and legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mothering Dom's child.
Yes.
Which Letty doesn't even do.
No.
Yeah.
But Letty raises the child.
Yeah.
Anyway. So.
Who knows? Yeah. Anyways.
Dom is just allowed to. Impregnate whomever. But yeah, it's very strange because there's no context, there's no lead up. It's just all of a sudden he's in her house to get his necklace back. She's wearing it, and it's just like, yeah, she's just like transfixed by him.
It's so nuts.
It's very, very nuts. And she kind of follows him around like a puppy for the rest of the movie. And yeah, he jumps, he wearing his wife beater, jumps in front of her wearing a bulletproof vest.
Like, it looks chivalry. Like she's been, like, conditioned or something. Like she is, like,
yeah,
under his spell.
Or yes. Something. Maybe he's a vampire.
A vampire. It also made me think of how there's, like, so much bullshit about, like, oh, you know, all the corrupt cops, and she's, like, the one not corrupt cop. But in the end, she's the only cop that benefits yeah. from the money that was stolen.
Yes. And she goes against the law, so she is also a corrupt cop. And plus, they wipe out, like, the entire Rio police force, so what's Rio gonna do? Like, it's just, like, police cars, smack, 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 and they're all, like, yeah.
Yeah, the infrastructure is destroyed. Who even knows?
Yeah, it's, things do not look good for Rio de Janeiro.
They don't look good.
No.
Well, they should have thought of that before they let the crew into the country.
They should have, yeah.
Because in the immortal words, once again, of Hobbes, mm-hmm. they can change their names. They can't change their faces.
That's definitely one of my moments of joy.
On the immigration authorities, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have known better.
Should have known better. Better luck next time.
Better luck next time. All right. Anything else before Theme Corner?
I think I'm ready for Theme Corner.
All right. Theme Corner. So we sort of ran through this before, but I just want to say prison transport bus. There's lots of intersections with Con Air.
Yeah.
And with taking a Pelham.
Yeah, that's true.
Trains.
Automobiles.
Nice. No. Good work. Very close.
Heisting.
Walter Matthau. Did you catch him? Blink and you miss him. Unsung cameo. Was he dead by this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I think so.
No, too bad.
Too bad.
Maybe not Walter Matthau.
But his ghost.
Yeah, I mean, just, we're just seeing, like, how so many themes are the same, just, like, recycled over and over again.
Yes.
And heist movies, I mean, would you say more than any other genre, sort of, like, conform to the same pattern?
I mean, I don't know of any other genre, but I think especially this one really, really seems to hit all the beats of,
like, every single cliche is in
yes.
here.
Well, and if you look at something like Ocean's 11.
We've got the big safe,
11,
we've got the switcheroo, we've yeah. got the handprint, we've got the,
like,
train whatever, we've got the train jumping, we've got...
Yeah, like, Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 has a fake safe
mm-hmm.
that they use. It has a crew that has similar people. It even has a crew with two guys who bicker all the time. Just like the two guys in Fast Five who bicker all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have everybody doing their job. Everybody is close friends. They all know each other from way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like Fast Five. It's like they were like, we want to make Ocean's 11, but with cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just sort of, like, filled in.
It's like the
gaps.
One-to-one transference.
Very much so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's much less polished and stylized, but it's definitely... I mean, that's not Fast Five style,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but it's, yeah, it's like, you can tell that the filmmakers were like, yes, Ocean's 11 is a good model for this movie. Did you see the fake bank save?
Also, just like Googling, like, heist movie elements.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, did a grab bag, a search and replace of, mm-hmm. of different things and put it in the script.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if you're looking for
the quintessential heist movie.
Yeah, if you just want, like, a heist movie where a gang of...
No, you want a heist
cool
heist
people
movie.
Steal stuff,
yeah.
Then look no further.
This is it.
Yeah.
I think you've heard it here, folks. Mandy says, this is the only heist movie you ever need to see.
That's not what I said.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
No other heist movies need to be even made after this one. Why are they still making them? Get out of here, heist movies. This is it.
They will be made as long as Fast and the Furious movies will be made.
Which will hopefully be until the heat death of the universe, which is very soon. But still, All right, moments of joy.
Oh, so many moments of joy. Like, the whole thing was a moment of joy. First of all, after the bus accident, the first reporter is Jay Jackson, who played Perd Hapley on Parks and Recreation.
Oh.
And that guy, just even seeing him makes me so happy. So, like, you heard with Perd.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Definitely the "we don't ever let them get into cars" line.
Oh my god.
Definitely the facial recognition that recognizes Dom and Brian even though they're wearing masks. And Hobbs says, "Hello, you sumbitch," and then says they can change their names, but they can't change their faces. When they're trying to figure out how to pull off the heist, and they just have to find really fast cars to beat the cameras. Basically, I think it's Giselle. Somebody says, "The only way we're going to beat the cameras is with invisible cars."
I was fully prepared for them to be like, "How do we get invisible cars?"
Yes, yes. And then finally, when it's established that Mia is pregnant and can therefore do nothing except call out the route, so Dom and Brian are pulling this safe, which is not possible.
I like how you keep fact checking this.
It's
movie.
Not. It is not possible to pull a 10-ton safe at speed with two Dodge Chargers.
Are you a physicist?
I read about it. I read a physicist's take on this movie.
Okay.
And they were like, no, it would go very slowly, and every time the safe hit something, it would
stop entirely.
Yeah, and the cars would be, like, yoinked back. So, yeah, not possible. But Mia is planning, you know, directing them where to go. And she says at one point, "Well, the plan's working. You guys have every corrupt cop in Rio on your tail. You guys have to move fast." And it's like, yeah, they know. It's a heist. They've stolen a vault. And it just sounded like like a video game soundbite.
Yeah.
Where they're telling, not showing. It's like, you guys have to move fast. So funny. And several more, but those were the main ones.
Oh, beautiful.
What about
beautiful
you?
Gems. One of them was when Dom and Brian are like, they've just had the train sequence and they are like driving off the cliff.
Thelma and Louise style.
R.I.P. But Dom doesn't even flinch. Like, I like pause that moment. Dom doesn't react at all. And Brian just says, "Oh shit." And then somehow starts surfing the car.
Naturally.
On the way down. There's also a moment when one of the early chases where Dom is running and Hobbs is running after him. And Dom is doing his best like Tom Cruise impression and Hobbs barrels through on a window, like, underneath him, and Dom is jumping while Hobbs is, like, barreling through under him, and it's, like, a mid-jump while Dom is, like, sort of, looks behind him, too, and it is, like, the goofiest fucking moment, because Dom is sort of, like, mid-jump, and he's, like, also, like, yoink.
It's so cartoonish.
It is so cartoonish. So that was just like a tiny little moment that gave me so much joy. and then the moment when Hobbs and his crew are trying to track the progress of Dom's crew. And he, instead of saying, like, "Give me the bad news," he's like, "Give me the veggies." But he says it like he thinks it's a cool line. And I was like, oh man. Only someone with like no amount of self-awareness would be like, yeah.
I totally missed that.
Give me the veggies.
Give me the veggies. We have to start saying that now.
We do. Yeah. All right. So, movie connections. There are 9 other movies.
Yeah, and every heist movie, like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the other movies. Yeah, I couldn't really get in depth about any of the other ones, but
I mean, they know they're there. They're there.
Yeah.
I also want to specifically give a shout out to a book.
Ooh. Novel. Yes.
I know. But it is relevant. It's called it's a scholastic publication.
Oh.
Not a scholastic, an academic.
Oh, okay. Different. It's like from the Scholastic Book Fair when we were kids.
Academic.
Too bad.
It's called Too Trans, Too Furious.
Love it.
And it's edited by Tuck Woodstock and Nico Stratus.
Perfect.
And it's basically just like a collection of pieces that are all, you know, inspired or riffing on or in other ways meditating on the project that it is, Fast and Furious, as it relates to the trans experience.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And it is a mixed bag, but some of the pieces are truly incredible and very funny. And there is also one horror short story that chilled me to the bone.
Oh.
Based on the Fast and Furious characters. So, ooh. Lots to delve into there. Highly recommend.
Are you talking about transmedia?
Yes, in fact.
Transmedia?
Transmedia.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
In summation, what did we learn? And juiciest bits, juiciest butts.
Well, I think
Lots of juicy butts.
I just think it has to go to Dwayne Johnson. Every movie he's in, it's just his is going to be the juiciest butt.
His butt is the most poppin'.
Yep. But I'm open to suggestions.
Hmm. No, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I think Vin works hard, but he's just not doing the work for the butt.
No. I mean, I think I have to...
Brian doesn't have a single butt cheek.
No.
Not a single one.
Not a single one. Nary a butt cheek.
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, the obvious answer in all of the other movies is Michelle Rodriguez. Like, yes. Come on. Like, Letty is, like, it.
I mean,
like, hello. Yes. But, like, she's not in this one.
There are several, like, bikini-clad Brazilian butts.
Mm.
And there is, I mean, the Brazilian butt lift is a favorite plastic surgery among North Americans, I hear.
Mm. Do you?
I've never had one.
Mm. All right.
But it's a BBL is what the kids are calling it. So there are many juicy butts.
I defer to your experience of the kids.
Many juicy butts in the movie.
There are, it's true.
But Dwayne Johnson, I think, has my favorite one.
Mm, okay, all right. Yeah. Fair enough. It's quite sweaty, though, I'm imagining.
I don't like to think about that.
All right. We'll just leave it be then. What did we learn?
I learned that physics doesn't matter when you have family.
Physics does not matter when you have family.
Yeah.
Also, a whole bunch of things also don't matter when you have family.
That's true.
Like,
yeah. The only thing matters is family.
Or logic. Or consistency.
Yeah.
Plot. Just in general. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Honesty. doesn't matter.
This is what I want to know. Like, how does anyone in this universe trust each other? They just trust each other implicitly.
Because they're family. That's just the long and the short of it.
I guess when you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
There's just nothing.
When Dom says you're family, you're family.
You're in.
Yeah. You don't get to be out unless he says you're out.
There's one line. I think it's to Vince. When Vince comes back and wants a job, like the prodigal son he is.
Yeah.
And Dom says something like, I wish I wrote it down, but it's something like, are you hungry? Good, because you're saying grace or something.
Yes!
Like, something like
bringing it back to the after church barbecue. Yeah, like, totally. Dom is becoming his father.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, making Vince say grace, which is like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It surprises me. That's another thing that surprises me, to come back to the earlier thing. How very Christian these are.
Oh, extremely.
Like, I forget that every single time, mm-hmm. and then I'm sort of smacked in the face with it.
Yeah, super Catholic.
very Catholic, mm-hmm. in sort of like a very like cultural way, but yeah. also a very specific way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And how that doesn't seem to like
conflict with,
it doesn't conflict, and in fact often it drives motivation. Didn't even notice I did that. Good job, me.
Good job. A++. All right. Well, this has been great.
It has been great.
Heist movies, turns out, are a whole lot of fun.
Truly. I agree.
We should do something very boring just to cool it down. Next time.
Next time. Very boring movies.
Something like accounting. What are accounting movies? Well, stay tuned for next time. We'll see if that actually happens. But for this episode, I've been Charlie.
I've been Mandy.
See you next time.
Bye.